The 2019 AFL season is proudly brought to you by Toyota. Toyota footy. Oh, what a feeling. Do you hear that? Do you hear that?
Shut up! The footy's on Triple M!
Huge crowd, massive occasion. Umpire says we're ready to go.
Ripping crowd in the MCG as well.
Crowd tells the story.
This afternoon,
unbelievable scenes.
The Triple MCG. It's one of the premiership favourites, Melbourne.
Weedman plays on goal. Oh, Maxi Gordon took it down. Coming back, Brayshaw. What an effort that was by Viney.
Parker through heavy traffic.
Up against the under pressure, Port Adelaide.
Oleg there as well. Able to step around one. Oh. Langdon, step around two.
Look at Robbie Gray. Dance around.
Robbie Ryder doing some roving work. Have a look at this from the big man.
It's the D's.
People all around us getting excited.
And the power.
It's on here, Juddy.
This
is what the crowd came to see.
Is Triple M footy.
MCG erupts.
Shut up. The footy's on Triple M.
It's time.
This is what we've been waiting for.
Time for the Saturday run.
We're ready to go here.
Ahead of your Triple M footy triple header.
Amazing. Get around him.
For McDonald's.
Triple M rocks footy.
Ooh. I answer at the MCG and getting ready. Everett's especially ready for the first Saturday rub of the year ahead of Melbourne and Port Adelaide. Very big hour and a half coming your way. Tom Hawkins, our special guest shortly. Ollie Wine, Stephen May in the box together, which is very interesting. We're also going to bring a couple of new segments, a new flavour into the Saturday rub. Purple's got a content look about himself. I think there's been some work during the week, so we're looking forward to that. Mm-hmm. Also, we're going to bring Bristol's doing it today. An untold story of the AFL, VFL, the lesser-known players who had a big impact for weird reasons. I think that's the right way to say it. But welcome for the first time in 2019 to you, Brian. Nice
yes,
to have you, Brian.
Be. Good to be here.
Of course it
or is.
Is it? Yes, it is. Domo, nice to see you.
Great to be back, Jim.
And Duck, of course, this is your time of year, Duck. You got the shorts on, the white T-shirt.
Oh, yeah.
Tightish.
Bursting
white T-shirt.
Out bursting small out of every piece of fabric.
How good has the start of the AFL season been? Great game. Carlton fought back. They're in the game at three-quarter time. Close game last night. Can't wait for this one, BT. And I hope there's no bullying this year.
Mm.
I really hope there's
even
no bullying.
Even his white socks around his calves are bursting.
Yep. I'll tell you what happened to me. I'm going to get to Bill in a sec, but I'm driving up St Kilda Road yesterday, Bristol.
Flowing
and
freely.
I'm trying to get myself to the MCG for last night, and I just drifted past this white Mercedes wagon, like an SUV. Yeah. Nice, very nice looking truck. And out, because I couldn't see, I was a bit far away to see who it was, but out of the truck came a man with real presence. And he knew he had presence.
Stopped the traffic
and just made his way out of this chariot. And I said, if I can't be sure, I'd imagine that could well be there. And I got closer and I realised it was. And I thought, nothing's changed since September, which is perfect. Hello to you, Fat.
Hey, g'day, Jim. Lovely to be with you. We don't need high scoring to have a very, very good close game, do we?
It'll open up though, Bill.
Oh, Bill.
I'm loving the 6-6-6.
Let's be honest. That game was not a great game.
No, last night?
For three and a half.
Skill-wise, it wasn't.
There's a lot of mistakes, but I'll tell you what, Brian, if you're out there in the heat of the moment, there's a lot going on. It was a tough game of footy.
If you ask Brian about whether there were slippery conditions, Brian said they weren't. Yet, if you ask the coaches and the players, they said they were.
So I'd listen to them,
who
Brian.
To believe.
Actually, listen to someone else and don't come up with your own thoughts when you don't know.
Sucked into all these excuses they offer these days. They've got to play when it's perfect conditions, benign and really nice weather.
The Thursday night, very slippery conditions. Last night after halftime, slippery.
You would have carried on like a fool's head.
Oh, no.
Because Collingwood in front for the whole night and then Geelong finally, and you were here in a box, so you would have carried on like a real knob.
Well, I found myself a box with a couple of past players. Yeah.
Barents?
T.A.B. And Barents and Narra. And we had a couple of frothies, as you do, to watch the game, and pretty quiet for a while there. And then, did we fire up that last quarter? When Reece Stanley started to get on top, and it was fantastic to see because the pressure from the start, Brian, I know you don't look at that, you just look at goals and marks, but the pressure. sharp from the start from the Cats. And I've been telling you this, Jim, their intensity at training and things like that. And what I like was the coach out on the ground after the game, very happy, going over to the young blokes, hugging them and really getting involved. And that's what I like. There's certainly a change there with the coach over summer.
Gary Ablett showed us what he's going to do for much of the
year. Yes, for all those people that thought he was cooked, BT, I know you were one of them.
No, when did I say that?
He looked as sharp as ever last night.
Didn't he?
I'll tell you what he did. And everyone thought, oh, he's going to park himself inside 50. He was never going to do that. Drifted up beautifully, got to stoppages, won important stoppages, but more importantly, looked clean, kicked goals he should have kicked and set goals.
You wouldn't have noticed, Duck, but at an important time towards the end of the game, he went into the middle.
He did, the last centre bounce.
There's one more silkier than him, Tim Kelly.
Well, what's going to happen with him, Purple? Ooh. Because Tim Kelly showed last, especially in the first half, just what a dynamic player he is.
Played out last year and would have ideally found him his way to West Coast, as we know, right up to the death knell of the trade period. Look, he's got the two Perth club options. Put Fremantle back into that equation. But look, the Cats won't give up either, Jim. And they're really going to be big, selling the whole club component to Tim Kelly. He's been there a year already. We know there's family reasons he wants to return to Perth, but I wouldn't rule the Cats out at all. The way that they're planning and structuring this process and this project around Kelly over the next 6 months.
All right. The other thing, Duck, about the Maggies, I read with interest Nathan Buckley's comments about how they slaughtered the ball around the ground. Well, the other thing they did is slaughter it in front of goal. They kicked. Yeah. Well, they missed three. Pendlebury missed a real simple one.
Side bottom.
Treloar.
Grundy.
You kick them, you win the game. Well, it's as simple as that.
All of their absolute guns, highly skilled players, made errors in front of goal last night. In actual fact, I think there was five out on the full shots at goal directly in front. They went out on the full. They didn't even get a behind.
Slippery conditions, Duck.
No, that wasn't in those situations. But they just really poor skills, and taking nothing away from Geelong. Yeah. They deserved the win. They hung in. But Collingwood, and Nathan Buckley said it himself, they shot themselves in the foot.
Well, I think
their skills were atrocious.
The fact that it was so low scoring always had them in the game.
Yes.
Yeah. That Collingwood just could not score.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's last night, and we've enjoyed that. And Tom Hawkins is coming, so we're looking forward to chatting to him. 500 goals. And joins a pretty elite club.
Yeah, and
you, Fat?
You in that club?
I think he's third in the goal, or fourth in the goal kicking behind me. But
you're not in the 500.
And he's a new father too, of course.
We'll speak about that. But 500?
Primrose.
A 441. Only played 190 games. Jeez.
Now, we'll get to him shortly.
How many games you played, Doug?
272.
And how many goals?
Over 700.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that's not bad.
I think I've probably got the better average out of both of them.
I like it.
I was a centre-half forward.
All right, now, we need to just... with Hawk coming. But, Damo, a lot of the focus in the off-season has been around our man. Because the Roma, as we call him, Roaming Brian.
Don't start.
Thank you, Brian. Has been normally restricted to the rooms and done an amazing job. And let's never forget, Whispering Brian actually started here on Triple M. Now, and then it's gone into...
You started it, Jim. You dubbed him Whispering Brian.
Gone into the television pantheon, and now it is obviously magnificent.
JP, I get the feeling you're setting me up.
Brian, but the roaming bit, Purple, as it's left the dressing room and it's gone not only around Victoria... but around the world.
It has.
And Purple, you're going to start mouthing off.
Because
me,
you tried to patent the Roaming Brian name.
No, I didn't.
And tried to buy it, and you weren't able to. So what you then had to do was, unfortunately, in your private world, resort to a team game.
Listen,
the great weekend.
Narrow head. That's
the
not
great weekend.
True.
So if you want to tune in on Saturdays, it's actually a very good show, actually. You've got BT, you've got Jane Barn, you've got Pete Laser, you've got Brooke Hogan. They all get together, and they go around Victoria.
Yes.
And it's a very warm and fuzzy field of program, Jim. I love it. There's lots of smiles and all part of this image makeover.
Yeah.
BT. He's got an image makeover advisor.
Has he?
This is all part
no,
of
he and hasn't.
So what about a brand Brian?
Brand, right. It's a brand and image makeover advisor.
A mate of mine said that they overheard Brian saying in the summer, they're calling me pizza. And they said, why, Brian? He said, because everyone wants a piece of pizza.
Come on, Brian.
Oh, so you are now officially silly.
Absolutely. Jim, I don't know if you've seen this show, but Brian has been to Lorne, he's been to Fitzroy.
I live there.
You went paddleboarding with Brooke in Lorne. We'll get to that in a moment. You've been to Richmond. You've been up the Ferris wheel, that thing around Docklands. But, Jim, he eats, he drinks.
Oh, yes.
He's warm. He's cuddly.
Let's hear it.
He's a little bit deliberately goofy. He's warm and he smiles a lot. And this is just a little snapshot.
Come on, then.
Of the fake laughter, too, that you might be about to hear.
Oh, no.
It's falling
of
flat,
Brian. Brian on the great weekend.
Wow, what a spectacular view of Melbourne. Welcome to our new program, The Great Weekend. My name's Brian Taylor. I look forward to roaming around Melbourne with you.
What have we come to here, Jack?
Looks nice. Very nice.
Come on, Beto, down this way. Have a look. What do you reckon?
See, I look good. You've gone neural mad, Jack.
You idiot.
BT's asked me to come down here and meet him. Apparently, we are doing one of his favourite activities.
Hey, Brooke, come on, get the gear on.
Hi, BT.
Hey, Brooke, how are you?
I'm good.
I've learned to paddleboard over the last couple of years and I really love it.
Where is BT?
Look at this.
At that.
Magnificent. All right, well, I'm a bit of a prawn man, so I'm gonna go this way.
Want to have a taste?
What is it?
Get more excited.
Meat's nice.
Do you want to know what it actually is?
Veggie, isn't it?
It is.
Wow. Did not guess. Definitely thought it was meat.
That's the episode. See you later.
Oh. I'm a bit of a prawn man.
Prawn man. Oh, what about the laughter?
The fake laugh.
Is it true?
Finished now, have we?
Is it true you were selling memorabilia like stubby holders and sort of all with roaming Brian?
Listen, Duck, it's good to be employed, mate. And listen, Damo, this is for you, yes. Bill and JB.
Yes.
Oh, well, there's one thing that you all have in common.
Come on.
You no longer have a job. You've all been given the flick. I'm sorry for being employed, Damo. I'm sorry for trying to do things. You
Warmly.
And you know, just be employed and support my family. I'm sorry for working so hard.
Warm bro.
Warm bro.
Warm smiley bro.
I'm so a bit of a prawn man.
So I can really feel this. You've taken all summer to
on
do
the
this
balcony,
and it's falling flat on the
careful,
balcony.
Just be careful you don't become over. Exposed.
Yes. On the balcony of the Lorne Hotel or one of these beautiful establishments in Lorne, he's sitting there with Brooke Hogan and the seafood platter comes out. And we'll just go over, we'll just back over what Brian had his eyes on this platter.
Yes.
Well, I'm a bit of a prawn man.
And then he was given a hamburger and this was what he said.
Meat's nice.
Oh,
and it was veggie.
A lot of fake laughing.
Oh. I like it.
There.
So the image makeover, it's underway. It's a very good program, by the way. But you're underway, and that's
purple.
That's there in front of all of us.
I'm also noticing on our man, the Roma's Instagram page, that there's been some global. So not just restricted to Victoria.
Like the Coolbreeze.
Well, I've seen Tokyo. Vegas, Germany. So where's this? Where's this?
It's another. Where is this? Something else.
Is this the full
this
Monty?
Is a big special.
It's national full Monty.
International.
Well, a big special.
Kenny.
Well,
I saw Kenny.
We're not allowed to call him Kenny.
Chris Smith.
I know it's BT hanging really close.
Close to Chris,
Chris Smith.
I saw that too,
Todd
Duck.
McKenny.
Todd. All his mates from the Full Frontal.
Full Monty.
But it's going to be a big special that we'll see later on in the year.
Hopefully not all of it.
It's nice to be employed.
And a board. You ride the boards, don't you? You stand up. What is that called?
Listen, Bill.
Down at Lorne, and you come in, you catch a wave.
Yeah, paddleboarding.
Eight kids he killed one day at Lorne. Mate, he took out eight kids. The mums come down from the beach go, what are you doing? Some kid's got a broken arm. Oh, mate, you nearly kill those kids on that board, don't you?
I don't know what you're talking
about. Yes, you do.
Anyway.
I like it, Damo. I like where he's at.
Yep. Just one more time.
Oh,
I've got to do it one more time.
Good to be employed.
I'm a bit of a prawn man. Meat's nice.
For McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.
Inside 50, Tommy Hawkins marks on his chest, pops it through, nice kick from a tough angle, and he does a little baby signal.
Handball onto Hawkins, Hawkins at 45 metres, bending, bouncing, and goalie! Tommy Hawkins, 500.
100 AFL goals. Take a bow.
Great win for the Cats last night, and great to see one of their favourite sons kick his 500th goal, a real important one late too, to give the Cats the lead. He's had a big week, of course, with the arrival of Primrose Grace, their second daughter, he and Emma, and he's been good enough to jump on the line. Hawk, welcome.
Thank you, Joe B.
Cheers, all mate. Of that's important, mate. You've had you kicked your 500th, you've won a big round one match against a high-quality opponent, and you've added to your beautiful family. It's been an amazing 48 hours.
Yeah, it certainly has. We've been pretty busy, and it's kind of been a bit whirlwind. So, to be honest, it was obviously a great win last night for the footy club, but it was nice to get home last night and probably just unwind and relax more than anything. So, and enjoy the 2 or 3 days that you have together in the hospital before you go home. So, it's been an amazing few days.
I thought you were going to say 2 or 3 days home on your own would have been nice.
Yeah.
Hawk. Hey, mate, the names, Primrose and then, of course, Arabella. Where do those names come from?
Nowhere in particular, Bill. They're not family names or anything, but which is we often get asked about. But I don't know. We had 9 months to come up with them, and we liked them both. And it's quite funny. A couple of Grace was... one of our names that we're really keen on, and a couple of our close friends had baby girls and called them Grace too. So you soon have to go back to the drawing board, and that's what we came up with. So we both love the names.
A spout would be nice next, mate.
What? Listen to Bill.
A boy would be nice next month.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Next time you see Emma, Bill, you mention that to her.
I will.
See how it goes down.
Hey, Hawk, you must have been so pleased last night as a group. You come up against Collingwood grand finalists last year. They had control of the game for so long, especially in the first half. But as the Cats have been incredible at doing now for a decade or more, you just hung in and then the momentum swung with a couple of key goals.
Yeah, we did. It was a fascinating game to look back at, just the way that it sort of ebbed and flowed. And then Collingwood got on top there through the second and third quarters, but probably just weren't able to capitalise in front of goal. So it sort of kept us in the game. And we've got huge belief amongst the group. And the fact that we had 6 players playing for the footy club for the first time, that belief stayed within the group that, you know, if we can stay close enough to sides, we can overrun them. And I thought we didn't play our best footy the whole night, but we certainly hung in there. And I suppose, like you said, when it mattered, we had a couple of key moments right across the board. And those key moments in particular were taken on beautifully by our debutants. Gary Rowan late in the game. I know we're up by 7 points, but he had a rundown tackle and gained possession of the footy, and we found a mark, with 15 seconds to go. And that's certainly a way to endear yourself to your new club supporters, but more importantly, your teammate and coaches. So,
How pleasing was that, Tom? Sorry, that just those big moments you just spoke about then, knowing that Chris Scott said that was an area where you as a team could improve this year, that you were able to make the most of those moments you just described.
Yeah, it was huge. I mean, Dale had a couple of moments. Charlie Constable kicked a goal in the last quarter, which was huge for a player that's 19 in his first AFL game, second year of footy, so... Brian Myers had an impact when he needed to, provided some pressure and was really good when the ball was in a contest. Tommy Atkins chased and tackled and Clarkey off the half back, which is Collingwood have got a very dangerous forward line. He played against some great players and held his own. So that was really pleasing for them just to be able to come in and fit in so well. And often it is easy round one when you walk out then there's 80,000 people to get overawed by the situation, but they handled themselves exceptionally well and played important roles for us.
Tommy, congrats on the birth of your daughter, and well done on last night. 500 goals. Not too many players do that, BT.
No, there's no. Welcome to the 500
club. Yeah. No, I think he's number 60, apparently.
Welcome.
I want to ask you now, obviously a lot's been spoken about all your debutants last night, and they're all fantastic. You've been in the game for long enough now. Is that where the game's changed? The fact that these kids can come in and have an immediate impact? Because, you know, I remember back in the 90s, going back that far, and even before then, Bill, if you were...
Get 20 games to get...
You'd come in and might maybe get 2, 3, 4 possessions, not have any impact whatsoever, whereas these kids come in straight away now and do what they did last night.
Yeah, it was quite remarkable. I mean, a couple of them had been on the list for a few years, and Tommy Atkins has played a lot of football through the VFL system. So, but I suppose I use Jordan Clark for an example. His demeanour is very laid back and relaxed, and from day one, he's come into our system. From being interstate, moving away from his family as an 18-year-old, it's been quite impressive. But I suppose it comes down to the individual. But then, as a football club, we try and instill confidence into the players that they play the right way. And once they get picked to represent our footy club, they know that they have a role to play on the night, however big, however small it is. They have a really important role. So we try and highlight that it's not so much going to be about possessions, about how many goals you kick, but you know what you can do in certain moments of the game. And I suppose you hear a lot of people talk about it, but that was the most pleasing thing as a player, is that those players really bought into that fact, and they just played their role when they needed to. So it was great to watch.
And Tom, someone who bought into that last year, Tim Kelly, continued the amazing sequence of 23 games, full quota of matches that he played last year into last night's game, probably best afield. Are you close to him personally? And how ramped up already is the club's project to convince him over the next few months to stay a Cat?
Yeah, obviously we'd really like him to stay beyond this year. So I mean, in terms of a teammate, we're really all close with Tim. We try and support him and his family, his boys and his wife as much as we can. So they're great people. It's obviously hard, and I don't know personally because I haven't had to move interstate away from my family for the first time right across the country to Geelong. So it's hard for me to know what that's like, but with three young kids, I can imagine it's pretty tough. So I think the way that we saw Tim play last night and the passion he has for the game is a great sign for us moving forward. But it's going to be just one of those things that we talk about throughout the year outside of the football club, but it doesn't at all get mentioned with inside the four walls of the locker room.
The four walls, Tom. Hey, back to series. You should see his farm out there, Brian. Magnificent. And you got some good cattle out there. I see you putting on to the transports the other day.
Yeah, the truck builds you.
The truck,
sound like a kid that's grown up in the country, don't you? It's a bit dry at the moment, but, it's lovely out there. We love it. It's good place to bring up two girls. I think they're going to be a bit rough and tumble, much to their mum's disappointment. But it's good fun out there. We love it.
Hey, Hawk, the little master was pretty good for you last night.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah, he was awesome. He's had a really, really, really good 2 months of training. A little back spasm a couple of weeks ago that's probably just hampered his ability to be out on the track. But, he was sensational last night for us, and going to be really important going forward. He fills us down in the forward line with a bit of confidence, knowing that, you know, as a bailout option, we've got him, and he's pretty handy one-on-one. So he was really good for us last night for sure.
Hey, well done, mate. You've spent enough time with us. Go and enjoy your beautiful family and a wonderful win.
Yeah, good on you guys. Thanks for that.
Tommy Hawkins, well done. One of the greats, one of ours, boy. Always has been from the start.
Remember he first come down, father, son, Jack, of course, yep. Great player. And he struggled early, didn't he, the first year. He kicked five in the first game, I reckon.
He played in that 2007 year, didn't he, but didn't play in the flag.
That's right,
but
yeah.
2009 he came through. Yeah.
I remember there was a big statement after that game. I'm not sure which coach it was, but it might have actually been Leeds. Someone said he is the next Tony Lockett. Mm. It was a really big statement after.
He's walked past you, Bill. He's been a great player. He's left you in his wake.
Well, he has goals. Had better midfielders to give it to. I actually sometimes had to go on the ruck, get it to myself and kick it.
Like, who are the two guys at Geelong that have kicked more goals than him, Bill?
Doug Wade.
Yeah,
and great
Gary
Doug
Ablett.
Wade.
Right, very
See,
good.
Gary Ablett.
Just a quick quiz question.
Well, I should know that. Yeah. See, they found another goal for Gary Ablett. Yeah. A bloke went through all his video, all his games, every minute of
They'd
game.
They'd snipped him a goal.
And they found one more goal. Kicked one goal when he was playing at Hawthorn one day. And they said, no, he kicked two. So he's kicked an extra goal.
And Doug Wade, people forget.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
of his age. Yeah. What a superstar that bloke was.
He wild pudding guts. He was fantastic. Palmer down to Goggin to Pud. Yeah. And, of course, went to North Melbourne and played the Premiership there.
Much loved at North Melbourne. Yeah.
And much loved him. Much loved at Geelong. Great.
And both married at the time, Doug. That's the great Sam Newman.
Well, he got
sprinkled through that story.
He got some teeth. And I don't know. He must have been struggling a bit because they were too big.
Of course, the famous board meeting with him and Sam. Selling shampoo.
Sold the business up in Sydney.
With these hush puppies.
All right. Get the contract out of the briefcase. he opens it up and there's just an apple in there.
And then he just leaned in and said, and those two ants at hosties later on that night, Sam, and both married at the time. He'll be listening to the
Good
great
on
enforcer
you, Doug,
too. What a magnificent pair. Domo, time to get some news done. And even though we're only two games into the season, there's plenty kicking around. And the St Kilda Footy Club, which I'm sure they wouldn't have wanted 3 months ago, are providing us with a lot of it.
Yeah, they are. And some of it is out of their control and some of it is well and truly within their control. Crucial game tomorrow against Gold Coast Suns at Marvel Stadium. 1:10 is the start time to that. But the story, or one of the stories of the week, and we'll get through the biggest stories in the next few moments, was the Dan Hannanbury situation, where Alan Richardson, a couple of days ago on SEN Radio, revealed that he's a long way off. And for those who haven't caught up with it, the use of one particular word here is quite alarming.
As we've upped the load in terms of the intensity, his body has just struggled. Problem is that he almost needs to do, to some extent, he needs to be rebuilt. And so I don't think I did say round four. I wouldn't be surprised if it's longer than round four, Tim.
Longer than round four?
Yeah, I would. It'll take a while, I reckon. But we did know that we were getting in a bloke that needed to some extent rebuild, but probably not to this extent. But that's okay. He's here for a long time. He's not here for a short time.
Rebuild the word, don't
Rebuild's the word, yeah. And it's an interesting word to use because Alan Richardson, before Christmas, said that we're getting a guy in who's going to be good to go. So there's mixed messaging. It also gets back to Simon Lethlean, BT, who has driven this whole project to get Daniel Hannanbury to the club. You go to trade period last year, and one club, and that one club was St Kilda, was the only club that was going to take him on. He had 3 years remaining on a very lucrative deal at the Sydney Swans. No other club wanted to touch Dan Hannanbury. They added another year to it. Times 800 per each of those years with, I believe, an option into a fifth.
There's no way in the world that they thought when they first got him, that rebuild phase. I mean, what they bought was a three-time All-Australian Premiership player, not a piece of Lego. I mean, rebuild him. I mean, it is ludicrous.
But they would have known there was some sort of injuries there and banged up a bit.
Yeah, people at the club knew.
So was rebuild the wrong choice of words then, Duck?
Well,
it's the right word. It's the right word right now because that's exactly what they are doing.
Well, what does it mean?
Wrong. Well, basically what he's saying is they're starting from scratch and they're saying his body was cooked. Now, if they honestly thought his body was cooked before they got him, there's no way they would offer him a five-year deal. I'm a Dan Hannanbury fan, but clearly there's, And
Duck, the industry
talk about how smart Sydney are. Sydney, and Sydney have got a great track record, don't get me wrong, but the fact that he had 3 years to run. They got rid of a guy called Tom Mitchell, who they had a choice then to hang on to Tom or let Hannanbury go when they let him go. If they saw things as they've panned out now, then even Sydney got it wrong to a degree by keeping him and letting Tom go.
Yeah. And look, there's a division there of who's
the blameless. I am a fan of Dan Hanbury, by the way. I think
I think we all are, Doug. But,
you said that.
But this conversation, this conversation being had right now and going into round one, was one that was effectively had by other clubs in trade period last year. They weren't going to touch Dan Hanbury. So
but they've got this situation. There also is an element of buyer beware across the comp, isn't there?
Absolutely. I mean,
with that one, obviously, with the Jesse Hogan to Freo,
Paul
Ahern to North Melbourne after two knee reconstructions, you're taking a big... I mean, they didn't give up much, but you're still taking a big punt to put someone on your list after that. Tom Scully now to Hawthorn. Yep. I mean, there are times when you do, as a club goes, you're hanging on hoping that it works out your way.
But St Kilda, Jim, in the situation they were at last year...
800 grand a year is a lot to pay someone.
About 800. Let's go with about 800, because the club won't confirm that figure, but it won't refute it either, officially and on the record. So let's go with about 800. They could have got him for a whole lot less, and they could have negotiated with the Swans to only pay a portion of that full rack rate. So that's their decision, and they're, as you know, Bill, and you are close to one of the other situations, which are out of their control, with Paddy McCartney, Dylan Robertson, and also Jack Stephen, who has been picked for tomorrow's...
And Carlisle, another one.
How is Paddy, Billy? You are closer than just about anyone else. So what's the story there?
No, look, he was, wasn't 100% last weekend. I spent a bit of time with him. He wasn't 100%, to be fair.
Still
was,
not 100%.
No, and it wasn't a big hit, as we were talking about before.
And that's the concerning thing for me with Paddy.
Mm.
The fact now that these hits are not forcible hits, and he is being, you know, concussed.
That's right.
That's the concern.
Had a big scans during the week, and I haven't heard since.
Jordan Lewis out. And Tom, is it Tom Sparrow? I should know the answer. Sparrow in, anyway, for his first game for Melbourne today.
Is he a little fella?
Speaking of Hogan, Jesse Hogan, where are we at with that?
Well, the club has yet to reveal when it will be that he's allowed and able to come back into the system. We know that they've set him aside for this particular week, and Ross Lyon seemed to get sidetracked on trying to give a definition of what it was. They have suspended him as a club from this particular game on the back of his activities the previous week. A lot of controversy around the clinical, as they said, anxiety that he had, with medicos refuting the use of the word clinical. There's a lot of spinning going on in the whole Hogan thing, but very similar to Hanbury, Jim, as you touched on, the risk they've taken right now is in front of them and not unfolding in the way that they would have liked.
And some irony, if that's the right word, that the player they got for Jesse Hogan, Stephen May, is also missing round one. And we're going to speak to him shortly. Joe Danaher,
a calf problem on the back of basically close to 12 months now of osteitis pubis problems. And look, there's no time frame set as to when he returns as well. His body is banged up. They rushed him through, or they were comfortable in putting him back into the fold BT training and playing-wise, but then a knock on the calf late in the piece has him out for at least 6 weeks.
He's 25, 26 now, isn't he?
He'd be 25, I reckon. We can check that as we talk.
I think he's about that. Yeah, he's got to start to string some games together, doesn't he, and play.
Speaking of that, Alex Rance, the best defender in the competition, 5 straight All-Australians, will, we understand, miss the rest of the season with an ACL. And we've got our man, Doc Rowan White. And welcome, Doc.
Thanks, JB.
We're going to be doing the boundary, and we're looking forward to that. But we've grabbed you early because some people are speculating that there might be some options as to what Alex Rance does with his recovery. Does he go traditional and just wipe the season off and have a normal reconstruction?
And a normal 12-month wait period?
Or is there any other thing he can do and should do?
Well, that'll be debated in the next week or two with his surgeon. But at this point in time, it's going to be a traditional knee reconstruction, as we understand.
Do you think that's the right thing to do?
Absolutely. History has shown us that is the way to get a better constructed knee, and using the hamstring tendon. And, Brian, the important thing is, I think it's about the rehabilitation. I mean, we know with Goldsack last year, he came back in about under 9 months. It was extraordinary. And there's a bit of a chatter about in the orthopaedic circles that the 12-month traditional rehabilitation time could be foreshortened with better rehab, better operation.
Haven't we been down
Dale
that
Morris?
Path before, though?
Correct.
Dale Morris did it too.
Haven't we been down that path before and it was proven wrong?
No, not necessarily, because the surgeons these days are a lot more diligent. We've got the best ACL surgeons on the planet here.
Absolutely.
And it's all about reconstructing the tendon back to the biomechanics of what it was like before. And that's what the talent like Julian Feller and the surgeons of that ilk are really working on now, to get that knee back to what it was before the injury.
So it's the rehab that's changed. That's why they're getting back quicker. It's got nothing to do with the operations. The operations have pretty much stayed the same. Would that be fair to say?
No, that's not correct.
So you're telling me, I actually heard Dr. Phillips speak on Eddie's show the other morning. And he said the operations have almost stayed the same. And he said that the rehab has got better.
thing I'd like to think if I'm a surgeon, I've got
better. So what's changed in front of in terms of the surgery then?
Well, the you're right, Wayne. Some
no,
respect.
Oh, no, 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 no,
some respect. A small part of what Wayne said was correct in that they are using the same tendon, the hamstring tendon,
yes.
But it's the way they drill it through the bone to reconstruct what that cruciate tendon was like before it was ruptured. Now that is critical.
Yep.
It also is about what other structures are damaged in the knee when you do your ACL. It's not just a simple ACL; it's the cartilage, the meniscus.
So everyone go 12 months, but is there any chance? Is there anything on the basis of what you've just said? Is it worth him considering a possible comeback this year or not?
What he needs to consider, get himself right, rehab, get him out on the track with the supervision of the medical staff and rehab staff and see how he goes. Because, you know, no one would discount that he could come back before 12 months.
What's he's a good athlete.
How old's he?
25.
Maybe older than that, wouldn't he?
Danaher was 25, as I look up Alex Rance's.
He's 29.
29, I thought
he's 29, yeah.
But there's no doubt, Brian, that a number of surgeons, including Julian, have said that the 12-month traditional rehab time for a cruciate will come back with time, with better operations, better rehab, like you say, Wayne.
And potentially it could be 9 months. A couple of them have gone to the States to do that particularly designed rehab course, do you?
Well, yeah, we certainly advocate that. A lot of that's coming back to Melbourne, of course, because we do have a lot more ACL reconstructions than the States per head of proper time.
It'll turn 30 in October.
Yeah, so that'd be 29.
Nice to see you, Doc.
Just on that, yes. Doc. Are you happy with your fraternity, your mob, calling out Fremantle and Ross Lyon about the anxiety on Jesse Hogan?
And use of the word clinical.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's difficult to talk to that, I think, Billy. Look, there's no doubt the man has got a psychological issue.
Yeah.
As to how much of that is clinical, reactionary, what is going on, I think what a better way to treat mental health is, look, he's got an issue, let's leave it at that. Let's not dissect it too much. Let's leave it to the experts, the club, and just take a step back. When it comes to physical injuries, I think everyone's pretty happy to talk about that.
Pretty hard, though, when a few people have been caught out for the wrong reasons.
That's right, yeah.
Using that as an excuse. And therefore, it always, every time a club uses it now, there's a question mark. That's what I'm disappointed in.
And what I think is good, though, is that, you know, we talk about root cause analysis. What's caused this? And you've got to step back and say, righto, well, the issue is not necessarily what we're reading about in the papers, but there is something else going on that needs to be dissected, and let's treat that.
And it's great to have Rowan here, of course, the first person ever say to Duck,
You're wrong.
And we love that.
Partly wrong, I said, Brian.
Good to see you, too.
Still getting around in the Vespa dock and just owning most of Richmond?
Yeah. The in-between lanes, that's all I am.
Domain Road.
Domain Road. I haven't seen you down there, Billy.
No, I'm back now,
mate.
The botanical.
Italian helmet and step through, Doc, and just does as he pleases.
He does.
And the big breakfast, Billy.
Oh, it's just nuts.
For McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.
Gather around.
I remember a particular day.
It's the untold stories.
You can be in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Like the night I ran over Andy Preston in the car park.
Of footballers past.
Oh, boy. This brings back some deep, dark memories.
This is something close to you, Brian.
Untold stories. You stay out of the way of this, Jim.
All right.
You weren't born.
Come on.
So these are stories that we're going to demo, just have a look back on with some of the players that were involved in those particular times. And it happens, Bill, that in episode one, we're going to go to a guy by the name of Mark Orville, who was playing at Collingwood. He played 7 or 8 games for the Pies and had a shocking stress fracture of his foot, I think, that ended his career very prematurely.
Played in your time, Bristol?
Played in my time when I was there. So
talented.
I had him as a teammate. He was a very, very good player, and he joins us on Triple M Footy now. Orves, welcome to you, mate.
G'day, Barge. How are you going?
Very good. Now, you were there in a very good period. There were a lot of characters at Collingwood at the time, and it was an interesting place with guys like Banks and Mullane and these sort of guys, wasn't it?
When you look back, it was an unbelievable era, the 80s and 90s. And the thing that stands out for me is, thank Christ, there wasn't phones and the like around those days. There would have been a lot of people in trouble, Barge.
Absolutely, there would. Now, there were a couple of guys. Johnny Markoff was a guy that played in the reserves, and he'd kick 10 goals a week. But when he went up to the senior level, he did okay, but not quite as good as he did in the reserves. And there was his best mate was a guy by the name of Athos Hisrolakis, who played about 19 games for the Magpies there, and he was another great character. He was a quiet, sort of modest guy, wasn't he? Shy, reasonably shy.
Oh, absolutely. Gave you nothing, to be honest. I mean, I come through the 19s with him as well, so got to know him fairly well. But you look back on those days in terms of the characters, you know, Kappa, Djokovic and the like, Mark Jackson just a bit before that. But Afos was, in his time, was unbelievably funny. And you didn't know how to take him half the time. And I remember one game in 87, I happened to play in it, and Robbie Flower, that was his last year, and Afos lined up on him on the wing.
So where was it? Which ground?
Vic Park, Barge, Vic Park in front of the faithful there. And Flower had actually kicked a couple, and Afos said to him, and I'll never forget, actually, that was the day I got a report of hitting Jimmy Steins in a week as well. But
so this Afos, is a quiet, modest guy.
Quiet, modest guy, stood toe-to-toe to him on the wing, right? Wouldn't say boo, Afos, nor he looked at Robbie Flower, and he said to him, "You kick another one, I'm going to burn your house down."
Oh, no!
Not Robbie Flower.
Burn his house down.
So no respect, absolutely zero respect. And Afos tried to play that game of getting into his mind. I don't think Flower even blinked, to be honest. He kicked three on the day. And I know Afos didn't burn his house down because he went on to be a cop, so he would have been charging himself, you know, 15 years later.
Is he a copper now, is he?
Yeah, I think he still is, Barge. I know he went into the police force, so how ironic is that? Geez.
Yeah, that is incredible. Hey, you would remember another story. I remember another. Can you recall the one on the wing where he said something to a player about his fighting ability? Do you remember that story?
Oh, yeah. I think it was Mickey Turner, Waverley, actually. And Afos, before the game, you know, a bit of niggle, sort of getting into each other. He was a bit of a tagger, and him and Turner were just sort of, again, nudging each other, et cetera. Just Afos turned around, looked at him and said, "Don't do that." He goes, "I know kung fu." And as soon as he said it, he went straight into character. He's rocked that kung fu horse and half cat stance. I think Mickey Turner looked at him and thought, "What the bloody hell's going on here?"
And Mickey could go a bit, and I think it scared Mickey.
Mick couldn't go. He says he could go, but he couldn't go.
No, he was a great character, Afos. And then after that, I had him at Paran. I coached Paran, don't you, with a no bill.
Oh, yeah, we know.
Yeah, we know. You take the opposition coaches.
Wired the box.
Quite successfully, I might add. Had him down there, and he didn't give us a lot down there either, Orbs.
What about
Mark? He then went back home, Bard. You went to later on. I think he played in the premiership with them, with Archie Paredes and all of those guys that sort of fed through the under-19s from that Laylor Epping sort of town. Hey, put it this way. They were good guys to know instead of not knowing.
That's right. Spot on.
They were as rough as Hessian undies, let me tell you.
Now, how are you going, Marco? Because for those who don't know who you are,
yes,
you are the internet sensation, Angry Dad.
No, look, the world's gone crazy, hasn't it, Billy?
Well, and where your sons play, they prank video on you, and you've got a very short temper, you do the nana, and then they paint your hair white or something like that. It's gone berserk, mate. You are a superstar.
It's a bit embarrassing when you think about it. I mean, I invested 600 odd grand putting those little buggers through private school, but they turned out into delinquents.
Very good, Orbs. And I mentioned before, it was a stress fracture in your foot that stopped you going on, wasn't it?
Yeah, I had 9 operations in the embarge. So, like, 7 years, 7 games, and 9 operations. It's a really sort of sad statistic to look back on, isn't it?
Who were the guys? Yeah, it is indeed. Who were the guys you used to hang around with? I know Dakes was a good mate of yours. Who was in your little clan?
McGuan, Krasiska, and Mullane, probably the main ones. Coventry House was a little plot of place to abode with.
That's right. So Bill, Orv just mentioned Coventry House. Yes. This was a double-story Victorian terrace across the road from Collingwood in Lulee Street that Collingwood had purchased for guys like Mark who had come in.
Yep.
Those guys were all living there at the time?
Yeah, there was myself, Krasiska, McGuan, Brett Glowry, you'd remember, Bart, and Greg Fall. And we all used to have to sleep with one eye open because you never knew what the next person
going to do. Imagine what happened there.
What about the lady that looked after them with the meals?
Oh.
When will you be home?
Originally, that was Gav's mum, Mrs. Krasiska, who did that until she unfortunately passed away while she was looking after us there, which was just tragic. But look, great times. And you know what? I can still recall, actually, Bard, you'll love this. I was on the first floor, and it's about 4 metres high, and there's probably about a 20-centimetre ledge going around the whole house.
Hang on. Get the dump button ready.
Yeah, no, I'll keep it clean, Billy. I could have been still in there asleep. I might have actually had a friend in there. I don't know, but I just recall thinking someone was looking. And I look up, and McGuan and Greg Fallett actually snuck around that ledge on the house, 4 metres up, mind you. Fallett would have broken both their legs. Looking in through the window. And all I was only in there asleep, Billy, of course.
Of course you were.
Hey, Mark, you played, as Barge said, with some incredible players. The great Dennis Banks, of course, the legend for lots of reasons, but also Pants Malone. Could you believe in, you know, Dakes? These are famous, magnificent Collingwood names. Can you believe in all of that, that Craig Kelly got a game, let alone became a premiership player?
Oh, I couldn't believe it, to be honest. When he first turned up, I mean, all you saw was a big head and a set of shoulders. He couldn't even bend over. And you know what? It's no better these days. His muscles are bigger these days from curling all his bloody cash. But good on him. Good luck to him.
All right, well done. Thanks so much for joining us. Really appreciate it, Mark. Oh, you got an app before we let you go? Something you need to tell us about?
Yeah, boys, I've spent a lot of time the last 18 months. Boys have launched a group messaging app called Banter. We're about to push a huge new update in the next few weeks, so just keep your eye out, boys. Hopefully you get to see it and hear about it anyway, but if not, download it. I'm sure you guys, again, the word banter, I'm sure you guys have put it to good use.
Yeah, exactly. Good on you, Orbs. Appreciate your time, mate. Good luck.
Thanks, Bart. See you, boys.
Nice start, Bristle.
Yeah.
Untold stories, lots of them still to come, of course. And we're about to get Ollie Wines in here, but he's a couple of moments away. Before we get to him, though, Stephen May's here from the Melbourne Footy Club. Welcome, Steve.
How you going, Jimmy?
Not the right way. We want to see you round one, of course. We'd much rather you be out there. How have you seen that whole thing? Were you stiff, or in retrospect, was it probably there?
Yeah, in my mind, I think it's stiff, but the rules are the rules now, and if you elect to bump and there's any head contact at all, then that's on the person who elects to bump. So, you know, I obviously tried to challenge it and tried to get the grading pulled down a bit, but I was unsuccessful and now I just cop my whack and get ready.
You can't comment on this, but we certainly can, Purple. It's a week-by-week thing, that one.
Yeah.
In 3 weeks' time, you'll collect someone in the head and it'll be absolutely fine.
Liam Jones got a fine for his contact with Jack Greville. And again, different incidents, I know, but already there's, I feel, confusion on what we saw with Stephen and then Liam on Thursday night.
Hey, what about the Demons? So much expected this season. Big final series last year, of course. The last game didn't go their way, but prior to that, two really good wins against Hawthorn and Geelong, season to finals team. So there must be a great buzz around the place.
Yeah, really good buzz, but they're just so hungry now, especially such a young group. You know, so ever since I've gotten there, they've come back in really good condition, and they're just a little bit hurt, but they've learnt from the tough loss over in the West. But yeah, they're so hungry and they just can't wait to play, and I'm excited. I feel like a fan watching the boys because of the preseason. I'd much rather be out there, but yeah, I just can't wait.
Hunger is the thing that stands out for me with them as well. You really get the feeling that has built a little bit last year, then they had some injury issues and that sort of thing towards the end of the year, but it does appear that that's a huge factor in motivating them.
Yeah, spot on. So they're hungry, but I think how well they went last year has given them some more belief as well.
Yeah.
So you put those two together and you get a pretty good, you know, experiment with the young fellas. So, you know, they've now believe that they're actually good enough to compete, and, you know, Goody and the coaches have implemented a good game plan that suits us. And now, you know, the new season starters, round one, we've got another opportunity, and hopefully we can get to the finals again.
Steve, what about yourself? How are you coping with the big adjustment required for yourself, having come from being a captain of a footy club, a struggling footy club, now into a team which is all about just all the parts are all equal? How are you going with that component to what you're dealing with this year?
Yeah, it's definitely really refreshing. You know, I've, you know, trying to get the boys up just to try and compete versus going into game, going into team meetings, knowing if we execute A, B, and C, we will win, rather than, you know, if we do this, we may give us a chance to win. It's just a different mindset. They're not what's the word? They're not arrogant, but they're confident. If they you know, take out the game plan the way they should, we should win. And I suppose not being a captain anymore, just focus on my body and playing my role for the team. It sort of dumbs things down a bit, I suppose you want to put it. As in, like, you know, I can go back to the basics and really try and get myself into some good form.
That's the voice of Stephen May. Great to have him on board. And now Ollie Wines has just moved in as well from the Port Adelaide. Fresh off the Murray. Welcome, Ol.
I've been in there for a while.
Saw you at Moomba last weekend. Do you enjoy Moomba?
I was live streaming it. Actually.
What do you do up there, Ollie? You set up the boys and you try and slalom the course there? Is that how it works?
No, I'm more a wakeboarder, BT. So,
are you?
Yeah, and it didn't end well. So
you're double flip man, or you're a 360 man? What's your favourite trick?
I'm not a double flip. I've got a couple of flips in the arsenal.
Oh, have you? Really?
Yeah, they're on the back burner at the moment.
How did you go when you went in to see Ken and knocked on the door and said, Ken, I've just done my shoulder?
Well, it was actually I didn't have to make that first call. So we're out on the river a fair way from Manham, the town.
Yep.
And it was actually Dicko, Charlie Dixon, who had to make the call because I was my shoulder was out for about 3 hours. The ambo couldn't get it back in. I had to go into town and get it put back in. So it was actually Dicko who made the first call. And by the time Kenny got around to me, look, Kenny's excellent with that stuff. He's more than willing for us to do stuff outside of football. He knows it's good for us, and he was fine with it.
You've got to be able to have a life, don't you, Ol?
You do.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because we had Tom Phillips in during the week.
Yes.
And spoke about that exact thing with him, and he was exactly the same. He said, mate, you've got to live. But I know you play for 10 to 12 years, but you've actually got to also live a life.
What's what sort of grunt you got in the engine? Is it a 350 Chev? What is it?
Listen to
it's a V8 Indemar. Ooh. I don't know what it pumps out. It's got a bit of go.
A Malou.
Yeah. Hey, what are we going to see from your mob today? So many players we haven't seen play the game before at this level.
Yep.
And there's some excitement around that, as we saw with Geelong last night. Tell us, no one in the inner sanctum more than you, what we can expect in these 2 hours.
Yeah, we were able to make some changes throughout the off-season to our game plan. As a playing group, we were sort of not happy with how we were playing. So we were able to put some points through to Ken.
Because what weren't you happy with?
Oh, a little bit how structured we were at times, which is really good at times, but then you've just got to play footy. So I think that was holding us back a little bit. And we've come in this year and we're going to play real bold, aggressive football. We're going to take the game on in offence and in defence. We're going to be really fast. And I think a few of the young players we've got playing today will really highlight that. They're energetic like any young player. They're really speedy and agile, so you'll see that on display.
Four first gamers, of course, and of course Ryan Burton. He was a surprise at Hawthorn letting go, and I think he's going to be a great pick. And Scott Lysette, the premiership ruckman. Have you seen his premiership medal? Does he bring it along at all?
Funny story about that. We had a bit
very
of
a, funny
there is
story.
A funny story about that.
Oh, why is that?
You go first.
Let's go with your funny story. Hold on.
Oh, we had a bit of a gathering at here's a dinner, and he loves to tour the boys around his wardrobe, and he's got it set up as a little shrine, and I guess it was good for us to see how proud of that he is and how proud we would be of something like that. And I guess just the fact that he's come in after winning a premiership is so good for us. We don't have any players anymore, I don't think, of our 2004 premiership.
What's he got it encased in a glass cabinet or something, Ollie?
You want to see the amount of gear they get. Right? They get three jumpers.
Really?
I think they've got a ring made. They've got a watch.
So that's all part of the standard sort of deal?
I think it is, yeah. Yeah, so he's got a... one of the boys actually kitted up in his West Coast kit and put the premiership medal on to feel like it. But
He's lucky to have that medal, if you ask
thank
him.
Thank you.
Just when you're having a couple of frothies with him.
No, he's told us some stories there. Yeah. They're probably not right for radio. But
No, they're good.
No, they're not right for radio. I think we'll leave them exactly where they are. The team could do with you today because you're coming up against and telling Stephen May nothing he doesn't already know. One of the most exciting and accomplished midfields in the game. Mm.
Yeah, definitely. They're enormous ball winners in there. Obviously, Oliver, Viney, Brayshaw these days. These guys, young and emerging, and we're able to see what they were doing last year in the season, and they're only going to go better this year, obviously a bit older. So it's going to be hard. They love to outnumber at the ball, so our mids know that, and we're going to have to try combat that.
Time frame-wise for yourself, do you have a rough idea?
Yeah, I'll look to play in the next couple of weeks. Look, I'm probably ready to play at this stage, but there's a risk still of the actual where I've had the labrum repaired actually not holding. So all the muscles and everything are back to strength. It's just a little waiting game now. It's these things take time. So we'll assess it this week and we'll make a call.
And Stephen, for you, obviously next week you're in, but Jake Lever, the other big defender that Melbourne have brought in, when can D's fans expect to see him?
If you ask him, he's probably around round five or something, but realistically I would probably say around 10. He's doing a lot of training, and I've with my hamstring injury a few weeks ago, I'd done some work with him, and he's looking really good, but obviously such a significant injury, have to do due diligence, and I reckon round 10 should see him back, and that'll be a nice little injection mid-year.
All right, just to make sure you guys know your teammates pretty well, we'll just have a little quiz here. And
Brian?
I might start with you, Ol. Zach Butters is debuting today, is that right?
Yeah.
What number is he? This is Zach Butters, your teammate, of course.
Just as soon as I saw you get that piece of paper, I'm like, forget the boys' numbers.
Now, it's higher than 10 and lower than 20, so it's in that sort of range.
I'm thinking who... 18, yeah.
Yes,
all
18.
All by Kane Corns.
Yes, congratulations. The buzzer probably would have gone off an hour clip by then. But Justin Westhoff is nearing which milestone?
250.
Oh, very
next
good.
Next week. Yeah. Yeah. Oh,
option A, B, or C. Now, Steve, what about Fritsch, Bailey Fritsch? How do you spell his surname?
Oh, geez. All right, it's F-R-I-T-S-C-H.
Yes.
Well done.
Very
good,
Stephen. Max Gorn, what number is he?
11.
Yeah.
He's a star.
What school did you go to?
Melbourne Grammar.
Yeah.
Melbourne Grammar. Hey, I was a scholarship. I wasn't a paying
shot. Harrison Petty, what number is he?
35.
Jesus, you are.
What about Tom Sparrow?
32.
And he plays today?
Yeah, debut.
Mm,
he's a little Jack Viney clone.
Is he?
Yeah.
Righto.
Who's played more games, Ollie? Paddy Ryder or Brad Ebert?
Brad Ebert.
Yes, well done. So pretty even. For
Has Paddy got the helmet on?
He does, yeah.
What's it look like?
He looks mean. Yeah, he's got a bit of a beard at the moment. So it's
Jason Dunstall style, Jim.
Oh, no.
If you had to have a look at it.
Oh. Well,
the one he trained in was of that type.
It's a 1940s diving
belt. Diving belt.
Yeah.
That is.
You should put the binocular
with
that.
The hole in the top so bits of hair can sneak through.
I think so.
Which the chief had.
Yeah.
And then tried to deny it, so we just kept bringing it up. Why isn't Jordan Lewis playing?
Little nick in his hammy. I'm not quite sure how bad. It was only yesterday at training, I think. I saw him leave, but I wasn't sure if he was out or not.
And how's Geordie going? Have you noticed anything in particular? Or
about Louis?
Yeah, is he going well?
He's going kicking really well.
Good.
Yeah.
What are you alluding to,
Brian?
Nothing, Bill.
We need the duck here.
You have, Stephen, walked into the Melbourne Footy Club, a club that we watch very closely, because there are some real weird units, including my nephew, by the way. Have you got your head around Angus?
He's got a real Brayshaw head on him.
He's got a weird
setup.
Looking head, but
he
he's a really good bloke. You know, he took me for a round of golf when I first got here, and he's a member at Royal Melbourne. So,
yes,
he is. That was my first game in Melbourne. As you know, you can only get backwards from there, I think.
Unlike Jim, is he slightly overconfident?
I didn't notice that earlier, but just of late, coming into the season, he's pretty.
And he's biologically got a massive head. Tom McDonald's also different.
Okay, so this guy tries a different pair of boots on every week and buys his own, gets sent different ones.
He's got a boot fetish.
I don't understand what's going on there.
And Maxi Gorn, did I read in today's paper, Jim, that he's opening a bar? Is that
wine bar.
Yeah, wine bar.
Yeah. Have you been at a look yet, or is it
not? He's invited me for next Thursday, East End Wine Bar. So he's project he's been working on, he's very proud of it. So
I was just
happy I got invited. I don't know who else got invited.
None of the boys are in with him, it's just him, is it?
I don't think any other players.
Guys. Yeah, right.
And what about over at the Port Adelaide side of things for you, Ollie? The weirdest unit in the outfit running out today? Who can't you get a mental line on?
The bloke you're water skiing with, maybe?
Dougal Howard, he's not playing.
Xavier?
Dersmer? He's an interesting character. Loves Star Wars.
What's Sam Pelpepper? What's his sort of thing? What does he do?
Calls himself the Orse.
The
racehorse.
Yeah.
If you check his Instagram out, he's a mean man, yeah. But he'll do anything for his teammates.
And you chatted to your great mate Jack Viney in the build-up?
I did this morning, yeah. Yeah, we're catching up for breakfast tomorrow. I was a bit questioning if he was going to play, but looks like he's right.
Jump off the shed together as Superman or something. Didn't they do all those things as kids?
We did, yeah.
Stupid things. Kids
do. A chuka, Bill.
A chuka. He's at Moama.
What are you doing up there? What else are you going to do?
Water ski and fall off and do your show.
Hey, Ollie, great seeing you, mate. Good luck. It's going to be a massive year for you and your club. Well done the new rise to the leadership, of course. Good luck with everything coming
Cheers.
Up. Steve, great to see you.
Yeah.
Good luck next week with the Demons, but also today.
Thanks a lot. Thanks
well
for having
done,
me.
Well done, boys. All right.
Great to have you, boys. Thank you very much for joining us on Triple M Football.
For McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.
Sometimes you've got to be careful you don't bite off more than you can handle, JB. And it does has come to my attention in this room that there are two guys doing a little bit of MC work.
Right.
And I wouldn't categorise either of them as MC. If I could just touch on you first, Damo. I'm told that there's a big St. Kevin's function off and function coming on. And Damo, not only he didn't volunteer, he inserted himself as the host. He said, I must host this. The guest list, of course, on that night, it's going to be a big... You did. Malthouse, Benny Gale, Danny Frawley, Gilbert McAdam, they're all going to be there. I think the boss of the AFL was even thinking of rolling up. Maybe some network execs are going to be there.
Hello.
As well. It's a huge night, Damo, so all I can say... I believe, is Andrew Cracker going to talk on that night? nine?
Yes, he is. Andrew Cracker, ex-Collingwood player.
So this is a big night, and of course, you're not an MC. You haven't MC'd anything at all, ever. There is quite a chance that you will mess it up, isn't it? So how would you feel about it? I won't be making it about me,
Brian.
I'll tell you what you should start. Start with a real good funny.
Yeah, you're going to try and be funny?
Be real light and length.
No, because that's you. If you started with a beauty early, oh, mate, I'll tell you what, you'll have them.
Bristol, before you get on to your next MC, because I'm with you, I'd actually like to be in the audience there.
I'm going as well. I didn't want to tell him that, but I am going. I'm going to heckle.
Can you help me?
This, by the way, a man who's just splashed a hell of a lot of cash into an American muscle car. Ooh. A big Chevy Camaro.
Damo.
No.
So a man without muscles.
Can you believe? When he told me, I said you could have gone through 100 blokes who would have bought an American muscle car before I arrived at Purple.
No. That'd be like Mr. Magoo buying a Ferrari.
That's right.
Black tyres. That's what he's saying, Duck.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Black Juco, black leather, and a big thumping 6-litre V8 under the bonnet.
What are you into that thing, mate?
Sort of, yeah.
Sitting in a cafe.
Impractical.
Seen Damo pull up, seen him get out
of here. With the goggles.
Choke on your cornflakes.
Everyone had come out to see who's driving this. Must be Sam Newman or someone. And Damo gets out.
Hang on, Jonathan Brown's getting out.
Yeah.
Toby Mitchell.
Yeah.
You know, someone like that.
Damo slides out the crack in the door.
He's just finished.
Only the hyena come in now. Duck's finally got a laugh, and you've got no laugh out of your bit.
He's just finished having a shower where he had to run around to get wet.
Don't stuff it up. By the way, there's someone else that's doing some unusual work. He's can't get any more. Well, he's done every sportsman's night.
That's it. And a couple of other gigs have dropped off.
I'm told, JB, that he's diversifying into weddings.
No.
I think Billy.
Diversifying and now
offering
weddings.
A friend of the family.
And as a first up, no names mentioned.
Weddings.
But he's gone for a combination of a Greek family and an Italian family.
Bill.
So how do you reckon I'm going to go with the names, Jim?
No good, Bill. You can't get Smith right.
Smith. But Tommy Olivato, who's a friend of ours.
Great man.
He's son Lewis.
Great guy.
Great Geelong supporter. So I said I'd love to come along and get an envelope and host the night. And just we'll have a great night tonight.
By the way, Tommy, sorry I couldn't.
Bristol, it's my understanding that Tommy asked a few others.
No, Jim.
Before arriving at you, Bill.
I was first, Thomas, wasn't I? That'll be a good one tonight.
Anyway, good luck with the wedding scene.
All right, here we go. Brand new segment. Have a listen to this.
Oh, Carey, that is a goal.
Carey, too good.
Unbelievable play by Carey.
Coming from Simpson. Oh, Carey!
Thank you, Wilbur Wilde. Plug a duck.
Someone put it together.
What is going on?
Duck put that together himself.
So we're going to, Luke, our producer, we're going to get this timed. That's how we work it. So we start the clock on the back of an email I've received, Bill.
Who from?
Email. This is from Simon out there in Diamond Creek.
He gets a lot of emails.
A lot of emails I get. We start the clock and basically we see how long it takes Duck to tip in.
So it's
a pretty simple one, this one.
Yeah, like, you know, what do you mean tip in?
Well, how good he is. Eventually tells us how good he is because he won't be able to help himself.
Kidding.
Here's Simon from Diamond Creek and this is what he said. I'm a Blues fan. But fair dinkum Liam Jones, how many would Duck have kicked on him back in the day? And by the way, Jim, you're a legend. So that's Simon there from Diamond Creek. So we got the clock started. Yep. Duck, it's a fair question here.
What did you make?
You know what? What a silly question that is. Because Liam Jones, by the way, Liam Jones did a very, very good job the other night on Jack Riewoldt. He's a quality player, likes to
guard space. Jack was tied. Very, he had a baby, mate.
Very different type of player. You guys wouldn't know this. A guy by the name of Anthony Mellington, 17. Year old, front page of the paper, he's going to play on Duck, this and this, and I thought, and I thought, oh, here we go, Duck's going to kick 15
twice. He's put up
twice.
Oh, well, the king.
Got him!
It took 40 seconds!
It's a new record. A new record.
Oh, world record.
I want to finish with the Melitus
story.
Can
I finish the story?
40 seconds.
Thought I'm going to kick 15 today.
Oh, he's beaten Dermot's record.
And I, anyway, got out there, Bill.
Yes.
We won by about 20 goals.
And
I did not get a touch. Gave me an absolute bath. But to answer your question.
Oh, yes. You've already have.
On Jones?
Yes.
Oh, please. It lasts 5 minutes.
Purple, 46 seconds, and Liam Jones wasn't even mentioned again. Didn't even need to bring him back.
Two self-duck and the kick.
As I mentioned one, he's mentioned two to the stitch up.
Oh, no.
Poor old Anthony Melton.
Oh, no.
Jim, what else by interest and way of interest did Simon from Diamond Creek also have to ask, in case Duck wasn't going to get there in
46 seconds? No, that was all he wanted. He just wanted to know. He's obviously a frustrated Blues fan.
Well done, Doug.
So, Bill, we'll be doing that again.
Well, yeah.
We're on the back of nice emails that come through. So that
always come to you.
So that's called pluck the duck.
So, pluck the duck.
Hey, Doug, try and make it a bit longer. we got a pad for a couple of minutes. Oh, geez, I can't. You called yourself the duck twice and then the king.
Yeah, sorry, Bill.
No.
I get worked up when people send in stupid messages. Like that.
That's good. That's what this whole segment's going to be based on. Don't worry about that.
Keep padding. We didn't expect him to go off so early.
Jones in the last 5 minutes, he said.
Oh, now we just saw our man Liam Pickering out the back.
Big howl.
Yeah. And I did ask him the question, Damo, because even though we're Triple M, which is the number one football station where the majority of people listen to football run the radio, and there's another station down the road a bit who virtually no one listens to, but that station is now owned by our man, the V8 supercar driver, Craig Hutchison. I don't watch this space very closely, but am I right in saying that Hutchie has bought the AFL record
yep.
and then injected himself into the movers and shakers list at number 6 on the publication he's purchased?
I'd like to say that's incorrect, Jim, but that's exactly what's happened.
Number six. Oh, you've got to be joking.
Having not been in it at all last year, I believe.
That now can't have happened.
I think it has, Jim.
Oh, no.
Why would you buy the record?
Well, people like to come and know their numbers, Bill.
But business decision.
But everyone tells me that the print media is all declining, and he's gone out and bought it. So here it is here. You got the list here?
Yeah, I got the list here. Just perusing the list.
Yeah,
Brian?
I've noticed that...
Brian's looking for himself. We're not talking about you, Brian.
Hey, let's have a segment for Brian finding his own name.
No, he's looking for himself.
What I have noticed...
It took him a whole 2 seconds.
is that the guy that writes for the footy record,
right,
because he's employed by Hutchie.
Yes, Hutchie's
coming in at number 40.
Who's that?
46.
Purple. He's been on that list.
He's done the article and put himself at 46.
What? Bill.
Yeah, mate. You're not like
I've
that.
I've regularly been on that list, Bill.
You're not like him and Duck that fall in so quick in 46 seconds. Come on.
This is now we're getting to the sharp end here.
Where are you?
We've got Kerry Stokes, of course, and he would be in massive power.
Danger at seven.
Eddie, of course, should be there. Alistair Clarkson. So these are the names. Richard Goiter, the chairman of the commission. Steve Hocking, now head of footy. Gil McLaughlin.
It's deep in the list where you have some fun, though, JP.
Yeah, you do.
I'm not sure how much deeper it goes.
How has Hutchie got himself amongst that list of names? Purple is your man.
I think the editing process goes up the rung, Jim.
Daisy at 19. She's having a big impact
on
footy. David Rath, the guy that's helped Pods bring in the new rules, the new whole setup.
Craig Kelly at 17.
Oh, how's he getting in
there? Ned at 17.
Oh, please, we need to get some investigative journalism on this.
Dusty Martin,
of course. Mm. Anyway, I just needed to ask that question, Purple, because I know you're across this space. I know you do the podcast every week.
Yep.
And I just wanted to know if that in fact had happened.
It had.
The Outer Sanctum has beaten you, JB.
Yeah,
that's coming at 50. That's
what is
you.
The Outer Sanctum?
Where's Brian?
Oh, shut up, Bill.
Well, you're not on it.
I shouldn't be on it. Shut
up. The footy's on Triple M. For McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.